14. The estate where Lou lived was a cramped quadrangle of pebble-dashed houses on the outskirts of Barton Marsh Village. Sustainable, affordable housing. Translate as cheap, small, ugly. Katie squeezed into a space a few doors down from her sister's mid-terrace. The small square of grass outside was uncut. A trike lay on its side, weeds poking through the spokes. The rubbish bin by the front door overflowed with bulging black sacks. She tried not to tot. She loved Lou. God knows what she would do if she couldn't have Sam and Gracie overnight. But she hated that she had to leave her children with her. She hated how she couldn't be sure that Lou would put them back to bed if they woke up in the night, rather than letting them stay up and watch TV. She hated that Lou's own little girl, Mia, always looked a bit dirty and hastily dressed, often wandering around in just a t-shirt and a nappy. She knew it wasn't up to her to tell her sister how to live her life. She knew that as the youngest, she had been hit hard by what had happened. But then they all had. You couldn't use that as an excuse for the rest of your life. Eventually you had to grow up, take responsibility. Lou didn't seem to want to try. She was only 27 and it felt like she had already given up on life. Katie walked up the short front path, stepping over an empty McDonald's wrapper and a packet of half-used wet wipes. She let herself into the hall with a key Lou had given her. It smelt of stale food and dirty nappies. "Hello?" she called quietly. No sounds from upstairs. She wondered what time they went to bed. Waking up grumpy, tired children when she was feeling grumpy and tired herself was the last thing she needed. "Sam? Gracie?" She traipsed upstairs, shoved open the door to their bedroom. Sam and Gracie were already sitting up sleepily in the bed they shared. Mia rolled over and blinked at her from her cot bed, a dummy hanging out of her mouth. Sam yawned.
"Did we sleep late?"
"No, no, it's okay. I just wanted to come in and surprise you."
From next door, she heard her sister's sleepy grumble.
"For God's sake!"
She smiled grimly.
"Okay, well, up you get. I'll start breakfast."
Lou emerged downstairs just as Katie was dishing up toast and cereal. She managed to clear a space at the cluttered table for Sam, Gracie, and Mia. She had stuck the television on to keep them happy, although there had been a brief dispute over whether they should watch Clone Wars or PJ Masks.
"Christ, can you turn that down a bit?"
Lou yawned. Her blonde hair was a tangled haystack, makeup smudged beneath her eyes. She wore a grubby dressing gown knotted loosely at the waist. Katie picked up the remote and deliberately nudged the volume up. Then she gathered up the pile of rubbish she had picked up from the floor and went to stick it in the bin. She flipped open the lid and paused. The bin was crammed with Guinness cans.
"Has Steve been round?"
"Oh yeah, just for a bit last night."
Steve. The latest in a long line of useless boyfriends that Lou seemed to pick up like other people pick up chewing gum on the soles of their shoes. The only difference being that Lou's boyfriends didn't stick around as long. It was probably giving Steve too much credit to even call him a boyfriend, really. The relationship seemed more off than on. He wouldn't call for weeks on end, then he'd turn up out of the blue whenever he felt like it. And it was pretty obvious what he felt like. Katie knew that he was just using her sister. But Lou refused to see it, trotting out all the usual excuses. He worked shifts, he was busy, he had a demanding job. Katie supposed that at least he had a job, which was more than could be said for some of the walking disasters Lou had dated. Like Mia's dad, who had disappeared faster than you could say unpaid child support once he knew she was pregnant. But ultimately, none of that really mattered. Steve could have been a millionaire entrepreneur or a saint. The point was that Katie had one firm ground rule in the babysitting arrangement with her sister. No boyfriend stopping over when her children were here.
"When did he leave?"
she asked now.
"Last night. He had to be up early for work."
"Right. So, how did he get home?"
She saw Lou hesitate.
"He drove, didn't he? He doesn't live that far." "Of all people. Oh, here we go." Here we go what?
You, being all judgmental. You've never liked any of my boyfriends.
That's because they're all idiots.
Yeah, well, at least I have boyfriends.
Yeah, well, at least I have my self-respect.
You're such a... Mom, Auntie Lou, can you stop arguing?
Gracie stood behind them in her My Little Pony pyjamas, hair full of morning static, hands on her tiny hips.
You always tell Sam and me not to argue.
Katie forced a smile.
We're not arguing, we're just...
discussing,
Sam said, spooning cornflakes into his mouth.
That's what you always say. Sounds just like arguing, though.
Katie glanced at Lou. Her sister offered a small shrug.
Little ears hear big mouths, she muttered.
It was what Dad used to say to Mum when they were kids and overheard something they shouldn't.
Told you to be quiet. Little ears hear big mouths.
Her mum would mock and scowl and whip at Dad with a tea towel.
Who you calling big mouth?
Right on cue, Gracie giggled and pointed at Katie.
Ha! Big mouth!
Katie poked her tongue out and tried not to feel irritated that her kids always took Auntie Lou's side in an argument. Still, the moment was deflected. Mia banged her spoon on the table and started to wail. Sam screwed up his face.
Mia stinks. She's done a shit... a poo in her nappy.
Then, in the same breath,
I finished breakfast. Can I play Super Mario?
No, Katie and Lou said, for once in unison, and then smiled tentatively at each other.
I'd better deal,
Lou said, bending to pick up Mia. Katie nodded and sipped at her cup of tea. Even though she rarely drank, right now she wished it was something stronger. 15 minutes later, she was loading Sam and Gracie back into her car. She waved at her sister who stood in the door, still in her dressing gown, a cigarette in one hand, and Mia clinging to her leg. Katie sighed.
What was the point?
She thought.
You do your best. You try. But you can't force people to change.
Maybe they never will. Not unless something drastic happens to shake them out of their apathy. Or maybe that was the problem. Something drastic had happened. Something terrible. Something that had splintered their already fragile family into pieces. Someone had murdered their dad.